Hello and welcome to Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. So today we're in Romans 11, but before we go there, let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, thank you for this day and for all that you've done, for letting us wake up, for blessing us with family and friends, a wonderful nation to live in. And Lord, I just thank you for your word and your Holy Spirit and your grace, which is so needed. And Lord, I come before you seeking out your wisdom, asking Holy Spirit for you to guide us, to protect us, to speak to us, to open our hearts and our minds. And may we gain your understanding. May we gain your insights and help us to understand how your word applies to us, how we should apply it to our daily life, and how we can grow closer to you and more fully in you. I think about the fact that these early believers didn't have your word written, that most of history didn't have the written word that they could turn to, and how blessed we are that we have it. So, Father, I'm grateful, and I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to it. Help us to understand what's on our pages so we can love you with all that we are, and we can love our neighbors as ourselves. I pray, Lord, for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So chapter 11 goes on and is really, it's a continuation of 9 and 10. And it's the argument that Paul is making about how Israel is being used by God to show the Gentiles who he is and how they're being grafted into the family of God through Christ. And even though the Jews may be rebelling or be rejecting the message at this time, God takes that rejection, uses it, and at the same time will not forget his promises that he made to the patriarchs, that he made his promise that he would take care of the nation and grow it and have it flourish, that he wouldn't forget those promises, and that the Jewish people would still be forgiven and receive mercy. So with all of that said, let's go to God. Let's go to chapter 11, verse 1. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he appealed to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they're trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. What then? What the people of Israel sought so earnestly, they did not obtain. The elect among them did, but the others were hardened, as it is written. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that could not see and ears that could not hear to this very day. That's from Deuteronomy 29, verse 4. And David says, may their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. So basically, you know, this is Paul saying that God is using them, that he's having their hearts, he knows that their hearts will be hardened, that their eyes will be blinded. So he's allowing that to occur. Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But it is their transgression. But if their transgression means riches for the world and their loss means riches for Gentiles, how much greater riches will their full inclusion bring? So when they're finally saved, when they finally do turn, how much more rich will, how great will their riches, their blessings be? Verse 13. I am talking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I take pride in my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature and contrary to nature, were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? So it really reminds me about this, the nation of Israel versus all of us Gentiles. There's been so much animosity towards them from the church and from Christians. And the reality is, Paul's saying, no, we shouldn't be feeling superior. We shouldn't be feeling that animosity. Because we're grafted into what was originally part of what they started out as. The elect of God. The beloved of God. We have all been brought in. But we see God more because of their rejection. So we should be thankful for them and know that they will be brought back and be saved. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gift and his call are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that you that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom of God, wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who was ever given to God, that God should repay them? For from him, and through him, and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And that's how I looked at this, is really God's wisdom, his insight, his understanding, his ways are not our ways. It's hard to understand all of it. And I'm just grateful that he's blessed me with grace and mercy. All of the other deeper questions, all of the issues about salvation for Israel and the Jews, they go beyond me. But I'm grateful that without Judas, Jesus couldn't have ever been turned over to Pilate. Without the Jews saying, crucify him, Jesus would never have died for our sins, for my sins. And for that, I am completely grateful. How God deals with those, with that nation of Israelites and Jews, that rebellious betrayer of Judas, is not something I need to worry about. But what I do need to be grateful for is that they did those things. Because without it, I wouldn't be saved. And for that, I am forever thankful. I don't understand it all, but that's okay. So let's go back to God in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this day. And I just lift up this time to you. I pray that today I would live a life that's worthy of you, that you'd be honored and glorified by this day. I thank you for all that you've done. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining me at Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. I hope you have a great day.